welcomes you into his kingdom as you receive this heavenly gift. Saved by Jesus, new birth you're given through God's Holy Spirit. As your parents hold you, the Father shows his love. The promise comes from him above, and life eternal for you he gives his precious heir. A crown of life you'll one day wear.
And you are listening to the first time that this CD has been played on KFUO. The title of the CD is God Welcomes You, and if you had been with us last time when we had these folks in, you heard the CD Lift Your Eyes. That portion of the CD was sung by Kristen Hurd, who is here in the studio. And to introduce our folks today, I'm going to ask Joni to introduce them. Joni?
Okay, these are some of my very special friends here today. They've produced some beautiful albums and CDs, and we're very blessed because not only have they produced these CDs, but they've made these CDs available to KFUO so that we could raise funds for the radio station, and I just think that's superb. And that beautiful voice, as you just heard, is Kristen Ashley, or Kristen Hurd, and she is a lifelong performer, entrepreneur, and a professional recording artist. But not only is she that, but I see her in many of the plays around town, and she's a wonderful actress as well.
Thank you.
Next to her, we have Chris Bergman, and he is the producer of this CD, of the two CDs that we now have available to KFUO, and he also is a recording artist and probably plays the best violin I have ever heard. The music is just superb when I listen to it. In fact, it often brings tears to my eyes.
That's what we like to hear.
It really does.
He's the Jesus freak among us.
And that, of course, is Dr. Paul Schreiber. And Dr. Schreiber is the editor of all of the music that is put, all of the songs, lyrics that are put on these CDs. And Dr. Paul Schreiber was a professor at Concordia Seminary, and in fact, the new director of broadcast services for KFUO. We just went to lunch earlier, and he told Dr. Schreiber he was the best professor he ever had, and just had wonderful things to say about how he taught him so much at Concordia Seminary.
That was very gratifying.
And we're gratified to have you here and to have you as the editor of these CDs. And last but not least, because she is my friend, Joan Voges, the author of so much of this music that you hear on these CDs. And Joan has a wonderful story about her life, but also she just has this real desire to share Jesus with people. And she does it through her music, through the words that she writes, and the music that, as she tells me, she hears in her head, that she hears, that she believes that the Holy Spirit is always directing her to write music to share that wonderful message of God's love.
Well, what I would like to ask Joan, let's start off with her. What was the inspiration behind this, or both CDs, and particularly this one?
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here with some very special friends. About 2001, I had that special urge, to a strong desire to spread the word of God through meditations and poems, and although I had never really written anything, and that was actually in mid-1990s. And in 2001, Dr. Schreiber moved to Redbud, and we became friends. And then about 2006, God gave me music to write. The first one I thought about, we had met a Jewish lady, and I was ironing for my daughter at the time, and I wondered, I thought, Lord, what would I tell her? What can I tell her? And the words came to me, And it was soon after that music came to me, the melody. And so with Dr. Paul's help, I've continued on. And it is just the Lord moving me. It's really something how the words and the music and most of the time the words are the melodies come first. But I'm just glad to be here and to be with KFUO, a wonderful station.
Well, Dr. Schriever, I've had the privilege of being up in your room at your home where you have your musical equipment. How were you involved with the making of these?
Well, first of all, when Joan expressed the desire to do something like this, I said, well, why don't you? And from then on, we worked together closely on the whole concept of using this as evangelism tool. But then in the working out of things, Joan would come up with words and melody, but she didn't know how to get it down on paper. For example, she didn't know if it was 3/4 time or 4/4 time. And often she would sing it different than what she would play it, and different from the way she wrote it down on paper. So I would help her line things up musically. Then, in terms of the lyrics, what we would do would try to two ways approach these songs. One is to put the words of Scripture to music so that people who don't read much would be able to learn it and memorize Scripture. We did that with the three tracks about creation.
That was the first CD.
Yes, and on this CD, it's the Lord's Prayer.
Oh.
And it's especially the Easter, the entire Easter story. And so my job was to see what the possibilities of translation were to convey that in a poetic form and yet remain as close to the original Greek as possible. And then the third aspect was to make sure of stylistic things so that Joan wouldn't have to sing "You who are who you are," unsingable things like that.
Like intricately.
Well, Kristen and Chris, they're here with us also. Chris Bergman, you're the producer artist, which means you also sing. Is that? And then Kristen, you're basically one of the singers.
Yes.
In fact, the first one we heard was yours. Chris, yes. What have you got to add at this point?
Oh, nothing. I do whatever Joan and Paul tell me to do.
All right.
We have
then we'll go right on to Chris.
Eventually.
I do whatever Chris tells me to do.
And then Kristen does whatever I say. So it just kind of goes down the line like that, you know. No, we take, it's this whole process. We've always marveled, the three of us, just on the phone, how God does what he does through this music. The end result is like a journey. Every song is like a journey. It gets written by Joan, edited by Paul, then they give it to me, and I flip-flop it around, and, you know, keeping with the true vision of the song, of course, but everything gets just massaged and you know, the instrumentation and everything. And finally, when we finally all agree on the end product, which can take...
You mean Joan?
Yeah, when Joan finally agrees, we get a song. And so, I mean, it's an amazing process, and it's a bunch of people here that God put together, and there's no question in my mind about that.
You know, that is absolutely right when you think about it. I think sometimes people listen to a CD and they say, oh, wow, that's beautiful music, but people don't realize the amount of work it takes to put that music together, the songs, the words and everything. But it's only through the gifts that God's given you that this beautiful CD comes into being and people are able to enjoy it.
No, I know it's a lot of work. I just talked to my son last night. He had done a CD instrumentalist on various hymns, and he just got them up on iTunes. And they were done in 1982. So it does take a while. He's a perfectionist kind of thing. Oh, Tristan.
None of us individually could. This is truly a cooperative effort.
You need a team effort, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kristen, what would you like to say?
I feel very privileged to be a part of these projects. I love the ministry that it supports, and I love any opportunity I can to work with Chris. We're a great team. And for me, as a vocalist, this music was challenging because you're actually taking passages of Scripture, you know, and trying to translate it musically. So I'm singing words that I have never sung before in songs.
And probably will never sing again.
But we have to find a way, I have to find a way as vocalist to make it sound seamless and beautiful. And the words themselves are beautiful, but obviously phonetically you've got, you know, some complications. So it certainly stretches me as a vocalist and works my expertise, but I'm really proud of it. I think it's an amazing legacy for the station and for all of us.
Yeah, I hire Kristen quite a bit to do vocals on different projects, and after doing two CDs with Joan and Paul, now we get a regular song come across our desk, and we're like, man, this is easy. This is a piece of cake.
Well, if I may say, for the Creation Hymn, just kind of a little backstory production, for that Creation Hymn on the first album, I sang the second of the three songs mainly. And just the vocals on that, and I've been a professional for 10 years, just the vocals on that took 16 hours. And it's, you know, just for, you know, a seven-minute song. But we want to put out the most incredible product that we can. And so it takes a lot of work on our part. And I think it definitely shows in the music. It turns out to be really moving.
I have a store on Woodson Avenue, and I'm there Saturday mornings. And I play your piece of music in the background. In fact, this is unbelievable how this all came about. Churches and individuals, because it's a store that sells clothes really inexpensively, and then we give it to missionaries, and we advertise KFUO. But a lady gave me a box of clothes, and there was only one CD in it, and it was Lift Your Eyes. And I turned that on, I started playing it, and I can't believe this. This sounds so Lutheran. But I didn't have anybody who was doing it. So I played it on the radio the first time back, and my boss, Gary Duncan, comes running and says, where did you get that? That's so good. And then we suddenly realized that you had done it, Joan, and then Joni told us, yeah, we've got it here.
In fact, we had given away a lot of the copies at the LWML convention, and so sometimes it takes a little work to get this all through, but and when we had the last time we had a show, we had a number of callers call in and wanting to order these CDs, especially it was around the holidays, and people wanted them for gifts, because what a wonderful gift to give to someone, the gift of God's Word.
Well, what I'm going to do right now is just play the portion of the second piece, Come to the Table, Jesus is Calling, and then we're going to have Joan indicate to you how you might get a hold of this. So, Come to the Table, Jesus is Calling.
His hands and feet. I thrust the spear into his side and caused him misery. Jesus heard my cry and wiped my tears for all that I had done. Despite my sin, invites me in, forgiveness for me won.
the table, Jesus is calling. Come to the heavenly feast. Answer him with faith in your heart. Receive eternal peace. Leave all your tools and wealth behind. Jesus is the treasure you'll find. The pleasures of this world we seek do not long satisfy. No need to worry what to wear. A white robe he's prepared. Move our hearts with faith and love. All is in his care. Come to the table, Jesus is calling. Come to the heavenly feast.
And that is Come to the Table, Jesus is Calling. And we promise that in case some of you would like to have a copy of this, Joni's going to explain it right now.
Yes, this CD is called Welcome, God Welcomes You, from the Lily Fields Collection. And today, if you call us for a donation of $15 to KFUO, you'll receive a copy of this CD, this beautiful CD. And in fact, we also have the CD, the first CD that was written, Lift Your Eyes. And for both CDs, if you give a donation of $25 to KFUO, we will send you both CDs. So again, give us a call at KFUO 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727 and receive these CDs. They are beautiful. They're wonderful gifts. As I said before, people were ordering them for Christmas. I realize we're far away from Christmas right now, but there are holidays that will come up throughout the year, birthdays, anniversaries. What a wonderful way to give a gift to someone in sharing the good news.
And we've got Father's Day coming up, which would be a wonderful opportunity. Plus, the second one really focuses on Easter, and you know when Easter occurs, every Sunday is an Easter Sunday. Every sermon needs to be an Easter sermon. I'm just fascinated with the words. How, Joan, did you come about writing this?
That's quite a story, Tom. One day I just went to my keyboard and I punched the record button, not knowing what I was going to play, and lo and behold, this beautiful melody came about. And I did not know what words would go with this melody, but every time I went into the room where my keyboard is, I would punch play. And little by little, I started hearing the words to this melody. And my desk is right there, and I wrote down verse 1 and verse 2 and the chorus. And then as I was doing my portals of prayer and the psalm they had suggested for that day, it talked about a new song in my heart I sing, and he provides all my needs. And with that, the last verse was written. God gives me joy and hope this day. He's my Savior and my King. A new song in my heart I sing. He provides all my needs. And there's more to that last verse as well. But as I talked to Dr. Paul on the phone that shortly after, he said, that's fine, but you need a verse on come all those who are thirsty, and then also you need to have one on communion, Holy Communion. So he directed me to the right parts in the Bible, and it wasn't too long after that I called him back and I said, well, what about this? And he guided me, and as he always does. So we have a good team here, and I want to say this, too, because we talked about this at lunch today with Joni and her granddaughter, singing these songs, loving these songs. So a six-year-old, my grandson, Thomas, 6 years old, and he was singing it in the car, too. It doesn't take long, and it resonates in your heart. They're so beautifully done by Chris and Kristen.
Well, one of the items I look for, the name of my program is called Law and Gospel. So many hymns I cannot play on this radio station. We're owned by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod because they have decision theology, etc. And I'm just so fascinated how well done the Law and Gospel points of view are here. And that was probably because of Dr. Schreiber. And could you explain a little bit about what these hymns really are talking about and the theological impact?
Just go through like you told him.
Well, the whole thing is about welcoming Jesus, welcoming people through his work, and not based on their own efforts.
Yes.
So it starts out with baptism, that God welcomes you, but it's not only as an infant, but baptism is for the whole life, including that the baby is, or the individual is brought into the family of God.
Yes.
And will someday see the Savior's face in heaven. So it's not just about a simple act once and for all, but...
Or even a symbolic act. You, the words say, the sign of Jesus' cross with this washing says you belong to him alone.
Exactly.
In other words, the words of baptisms are performative words. They perform what they actually say.
Yes, indeed. Then the second song has to do not only with the Lord's Supper, but it starts with an Old Testament metaphor about the Messiah bringing the gifts of a banquet. Then it moves to the Lord Jesus being the symbolic eating of his body. Then it moves to eating and drinking of his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. And finally, the perspective is the eternal heavenly banquet, the eschatological dimension of God's invitation.
Yeah, it says here, come to the table to the feast I have for you. By his atoning blood we're restored. Explain atoning blood.
That refers to his death as the punishment of our sins and all the sins of the whole world, makes atonement.
Yes.
And so there is forgiveness and reconciliation between God and man.
Well, this concludes the first part of the program here, and we're going to be back to talk more with particularly Kristen and Chris when we get back about some of their experiences in putting it together. And we're going to also begin the next section with another portion. This one is going to be about the Lord's Prayer, Dear Father. So please stay with us through the
break. Arizona joins the list.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Arizona recently passed legislation which defunds Planned Parenthood. The legislation, developed by the Susan B. Anthony List and the Alliance Defense Fund, provides state funds for women's health care, but it prevents taxpayer money from going to entities which provide abortions, namely Planned Parenthood. With this action, Arizona becomes the 12th state in the last 2 years to partially or fully defund Planned Parenthood. Is your state on the list? Go to sba-list.org and see. If it's not, tell your legislators that taxpayer funds should not be used to subsidize abortion providers.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Nearly 3 million members look to Thrivent Financial for Lutherans to help them achieve their financial goals. Nearly 3 million people who know that Thrivent Financial is committed to excellence in their financial service and caring for others. Get to know Thrivent Financial and the quality products and services we can offer you. I'm Kelly Brickner, your financial representative with Thrivent Financial in O'Fallon, Missouri. Call 636-695-4110.
The Lutheran doctrine of vocation is foundational to the variety of topics on the weekend Studio A program. Heard Saturdays from 1 to 3 Central Time, we discuss everything from theology and culture, history, politics, service, and current affairs, and how we as Christians are called not only to live in, but to be an influence upon this world. That's the Studio A program, Saturdays from 1 to 3 Central, right here on KFUO Radio.
You can support the ministry of KFUO Radio through a gift annuity. In fact, for a one-time gift of, say, $5,000, you will receive cash payments for life at a guaranteed rate of interest and leave the rest of the remaining value of the annuity to KFUO after the Lord calls you home. If that sounds like a plan for you, contact our gift planning specialist.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
This is John Fuller for Focus on the Family. Coming up this weekend, how to express awe to your spouse, helping women heal from the wounds of premarital sex, and empowering men to take a leadership role in their families. All that and more on the next Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio.
Many couples have questions about intimacy in their marriage. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Marriage experts Bill and Pam Farrell have years of counseling experience and offer this wise perspective.
When you look at what God says is okay in the bedroom, we like to use the acrostic yes.
Right, because you would think with as much pain as this area has caused the human race, God would have given a long list. Mm. But he didn't. He gave a few principles because he wants it to be a relational decision. So couples, when they're making sexual decisions together, if they're yielded to one another, which takes the selfishness out of it, that I'm pursuing this in a way that meets your need rather than mine.
If it's extended in love, no one should ever feel forced behind bedroom doors.
And the S is secure with privacy.
Just the two of you.
Find additional answers from experts like the Farrells and trusted advice for your relationship when you stop by focusonthefamily.com/marriage. I'm John Fuller.
Here, I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel, and we're talking to individuals who put together a new CD that is going to be very helpful for KFUO. And I'm going to be asking Kristen a little question here. It's about 30 minutes of singing, so what did it take you, about 35, 40 minutes to sing everything, and that was it?
You know, these were all one takes. Yes. I'm that good.
Oh, I know. I mean, just like the Beatles, you know.
Absolutely. There is a lot of work that goes into a fully produced album like Joan has done here. I would say, at least 10 visits, recording sessions, and we usually record for around 4 hours at a time to do some of these pieces.
Wow.
As I mentioned, the one that stood out at me was the Creation Hymn on Lift Your Eyes, which is the first album. That took 16 hours. And as I was sort of...
16 hours? I mean,
16 hours.
What do you do? Sing slowly and then speed it up? Or?
The way it's set up, actually, is I don't know the songs when I come in. I actually have to learn it line by line. So he records a demo of my melody. So I'm in the studio. I have my headphones on, and I'm listening to his voice. And then I have to learn that melody, which takes, you know, a few minutes to get down. And then I start laying down actual tracks. So how we end up putting the album together is I'll record each segment, each line of the song around 4 to 5 times, and then we choose the best from those and compile it.
Wow.
That's true. There are sometimes 30 takes to get particular lines right. And that's the challenge with this music above other songs, is that it is actual scripture. So you're singing really unique words together, where maybe other songwriters would have chose something more lingual. But that's really, I think, the beauty of this. But for instance, like one of the lines in the Easter Story hymn on the second record here is, "The disciples rushed to the grave and Mary also with them." That's a mouthful just to say. Mm-hmm. So I have to try and translate that along with Chris into, you know, a really lyrically sounding, beautiful piece, so it just sounds really seamless. And that just can take a lot of work and a lot of focus in the studio to achieve that.
Well, Chris, I could ask you then why you just didn't get a better singer. I mean, look at all the time you would have saved. I'm not available. would you tell me, how did the instrumentation work?
Well, with today's technology, it's marvelous. Right, Dr. Paul? I call Dr. Paul, and he says, "I need a big gong at the end of that song. Can you pull me a big gong?" So I go into my closet, and I pull out an 8-foot gong, and then I play it. No, that's not how it is. It's really amazing, man, with today's... even 5 or 6 years ago, it wasn't possible because computers keep getting faster and bigger and things. So they make this software where you literally have a symphony at your fingertips. And I don't want to get too nerdy on everybody out there, but, man, is it great. And these are not just fake string sections, fake horn sections, woodwinds, the whole thing. This is the real deal, that these companies go out and they sample and track these sections so that when you play it on the keyboard, it's no different than if you went and mic'd up a symphony. Mm. Now, you have the tool there, but then on the other flip side of it, you got to know what a real symphony is going to play. And so, since I was classically trained as a violinist, I've had the luxury of being in symphonies and orchestras all growing up, and so I kind of know what this different section should be playing. So a guy like me, I could do all these arrangements of everything, and bam, you got your symphony right there, you know. All I need to know is the general vibe from Joan and Paul, what we want. Do we want this big, small, emotional, deep, happy, triumphant? What do we need? And from there, I can add the instrumentation that will pull that vibe together, mm-hmm. you know, like timpani or whatever like that. So, but... we have other challenges a lot. Like this Easter hymn was probably the longest debate between the three of us to get to the end product. Joan had, was it I guess it was 3 or 4 different melodies for the thing, and so it wasn't your average verse-chorus thing. And so,
well, what you did here is basically what Paul did with Corinthians. Was such a long letter, he made it 1st and 2nd Corinthians.
Right. Yeah. Well, we've broken them up into 3 parts even. But for that, I mean, what I envisioned for it, you know, when Joan first heard it, it was so much a deviation, kind of, not the melody, well, some of the melody, but maybe from her original thought, we had to kind of go back and forth a little and, you know, and just try different things. But in the end, you have complete control of what that symphony is playing and what you want on there. And you, Hector's, he would... four or five different pianos to choose from and things like that. So it's really a fascinating project. Not one you'd want to sit there, though, and for 50 or 60 mm-hmm. hours while I do this instrumentation, but nevertheless, it's great to hear when it's done, isn't it, Joan?
It sure is.
So.
The finished product is beautiful. And, you know, as Kristen has said, I'm sure it is difficult sometimes to go through these lines because they're not poetry in the sense that, you know, words rhyming, ending at the very same place. But it's the Word of God. And I think about how many people may not take the time to read their Bible, but they will listen to this CD. And they're hearing God's Word through this music. And what a blessing it has to be to people. So I think it's just another way of reaching the world with the message of God's love.
Right, right. Can I have one more thing? It's kind of humorous for my father, who's probably listening. But, I mean, even my own dad mm-hmm. came down like a month ago, and I said, hey, you want to hear Joan's latest? And I played just the instrumentation. He's like, is that legal? Where'd you get that? You know, and I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, well, you took that from somebody, right? And I was like, no. He just didn't get it. I said, I played in every note you hear, Dad. He's like, really? I mean, this is my own father. I've been doing this 18 years. He just can't comprehend how you get that. Anyway, I thought that was a funny story. Yeah. Yes.
Dr. Paul, would you explain the Easter story, the various scenes that you're trying to get across here from a theological point of view?
First of all, in the various scenes of the resurrection, the deep sorrow over the sinfulness of each individual and their failure to understand and believe, and then the dramatic effect of Jesus' resurrection appearance to, for example, Mary, to Peter and John, to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, to Thomas, and so on. And the recurring theme is the angel's message, he's risen, he's not here, he's risen from the dead.
Yes.
But it doesn't end with that. It ends with, he's risen, he is here. Because he's risen from the dead. And so that leaves it open for Christ's resurrection to have meaning for all of us because of his presence among us in his wordings and sacraments.
Well, let's hear a portion of this particular CD on the first part of the Easter hymn, Early Easter Morning, Through the Glimmering of Dawn.
Dead men stunned by the blow.
to the women, the angel said, don't be scared, don't be afraid. I know you seek Jesus. Yes, I know you seek Jesus. Jesus, where he lay, he's not here, he has risen. Just as he said, Jesus Christ crucified is no longer dead. Quickly go tell his disciples, Peter especially, he's not here, he has risen. He'll see them in Galilee.
Without delay, they have taken the Lord away, and I don't know where they've laid him. The disciples rushed to the grave, and Mary also with them.
Something. So
boy, when you see that or hear that, it's hard to believe that you were seeing each section a little bit at a time. Tris, did you do the editing to put them together?
Yes, I did. Many, many, many hours. No, I mean, what I do is I cut a scratch track of me singing it, and yeah. I actually have to make that scratch track pretty darn good because I want to sing it a certain way.
Okay, scratch track.
It's me singing it, but it's going to get scratched because she's going to do the final version.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Okay, so I mean, I'll sing that scratch track over and over until I like what I do, and then I got to have her match it. And then Joan and Paul listen, and they got to sign off on it before I even bring her in, because we're all agreeing, okay, that's good. And now she's got to come in, basically be like a parrot and just mimic what I did. It's a fascinating process.
Okay, and let me ask Kristen Parrot then. is that your new name?
I guess it is now.
No, you almost have to, like for instance, when I talk to people who do films, they really have to become the character, so to speak. What kind of process do you go through to get yourself into this?
That's a really great question. Honestly, I try to have a lot of visualizations. So each song has a mood. So I'll just kind of envision a scenario or a feeling. And then it's really voice acting to an extent. I mean, these songs are very descriptive and very visual. So you know, he'll tell me, okay, well, we need it to sound more light and cheery, so, you know, almost princessy. He'll give me great descriptive words to work with, and so he's like, okay, think, you know, more dark and deep and tender, and okay, so then I try to, you know, like I said, envision a scenario in my life or a mood, and then have to, in turn, act that out through my voice and the melody. And then I listen to his scratch track, and I'm the parrot to listen to the particular inflection that he's looking for. He's very specific with how he wants his intonation a lot of times. So,
well, what I really appreciated, Chris, especially on the Easter one, and give us your thinking here, the mood you set with the instrumentations, and there was what instruments did you actually use? That wasn't an oboe, was it?
On the Easter track?
Yeah.
Pretty much all the sections are there, you know, woodwinds and horns and, and stuff. But I like the beginning of it, the one you just played.
Yes.
It sounds like a funeral dirge.
Chopin.
And Chopin. That's the instruction I got from Dr. Paul, you know. I didn't have it.
Women were not happy on their way going to the tomb.
I mean, and I had it sad feeling and melancholy, but not quite like a funeral, and he's like, okay, and so I actually changed that up to be as dark as it is, you know, now.
And
the bell, like a kind of a gong, like a funeral toll bell in the distance kind of thing. You know, that was
violin.
And then some haunting violin, of course, which is always good, you know. But you know, so you know, I get the vision, and then if they want more direction this way or that way, then I just I rework it to go more that direction. So, yeah, no, there's a whole strings, woodwinds, brass, timpani, the whole gamut in there.
When my son did his synthesizer CD, it was, you know, 11 hymns that were in public domain. But on the Easter one, we had 7 bells at the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
And he had 4 different synthesizers he was using, trying to get the theme across. And I like that one a little bit because I helped write the theme. What I did is we went up one kind of a half tone on each verse, going higher and
right.
up. And it was, I was just very pleased with the way you did this.
Well, and a lot of times when you're combining male and female vocal too, you got it. That key is really, oh, yeah. really important. And people, that's like right. Halfway through the Easter tracks, that's when Kristen takes over. And people probably don't notice, but it actually goes down a step. The key changes down.
Yes.
And it's kind of neat. You know, you don't get to do that very often. But that way it gets into her range, and then it kind of changes it up.
In the previous CD, I think you had a duet, the two of you singing together.
Actually, at the end of both of those Easter tracks, we're singing together as well.
Yes.
So
that's the only places, though. Here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. That's
which is always fun if you can do
so,
that.
So, in other words, you have to parrot her. Okay.
Exactly.
Joan, there's something about these two CDs that I tell everybody about. I don't know whose idea this was, but every CD should be like this, is that on the first one, you had 9 hymns. This one is 6 hymns. But then you have instrumental tracks without the words. And I've used them in my store all the time as background. You could probably use it at the beginning of a worship service. What was that your kind of decision, or who did that come from?
Can I jump in real quick? Because when we first started doing this, Joan would kind of know all the hours that I was putting in. What was I doing? I would give her an instrumental only version so that, because when they're singing there, you can't actually hear all the instrumentation. It gets kind of covered up. So I'd shoot them a vocal track and an instrumental. I'd say, listen to all those good flutes and oboes and stuff. And after doing that for a few songs, we all realized how great it sounded like that. So if you don't speak to that, Joan, go ahead. You know,
that's true. And then we decided that, hey, this would really be good for anyone wanting to use it for instrumentals for our church to sing to it. And someone told me just recently from our church, she said, I love it that way because then I can sing it like I'm the soloist for that song, particular song. So, and I wanted to say these hymns can be used in so many different ways. Our pastor from St. John's Lutheran Church, Pastor Mark Neville, puts them in a basket with fruit and different things to when he visits newcomers to town. And so I keep a box of CDs in my... yes, and it even says, God welcomes you, this second CD. And today, as I had taken my husband to the hospital for a shot, and as he went ahead to get warmed up outside, and so as I was coming on the elevator, a lady and I were waiting together, and we got on the elevator together, and then she told me about her situation with a blood disorder. So as we walked out, I said to her, are you a Christian? And she said, yes. And she said, as a matter of fact, my husband is a pastor. I said, well, I write hymns. Would you care for one? And because I always keep a box of CDs in my trunk in my car, so it was just easy to pull one out. And it's such a great way. If you pray sometime, Lord, please give me a person that I can tell about Jesus. And you have that CD, and you don't know what words you would say to them, but you give them that CD, it's going to come off really clear. And
yes.
Like me, it resonates in my heart all day long.
I'll tell you what I really love about these CDs. I can't tell you how many CDs I've listened to with choir singing, and you cannot understand the words. These words are crystal clear.
Thank you.
That makes, I think, what Dr. Paul wanted. He wants the word, number one, and then our voices as well as the instruments are the vehicle by which God gives you in the right mood, etc. Any final comments, Dr. Paul?
No, I don't. I can't think of it. You asked me, and it escaped my mind.
That's all right. Okay, Joni, would you?
I would like to say, though, yes. A current project that I'm on.
Oh, yes.
Is writing an opera about, actually an opera starring Katie Luther.
And, the wife of Martin Luther.
Yes, and it's written from her perspective, and the purpose of it is a former student of mine from 35 or so years ago contacted me and expressed her dream to have an opera about Katie Luther. She's an opera singer.
Yes, and of course Katie was married to Martin Luther. Are you going to be able to make it family friendly?
Well, this this was a question.
Yes.
How to make this something that people would be interested in.
Yes.
And not offensive to the Roman Catholics.
That's right, yeah.
Or Jews or so on.
When will that maybe be coming out? About a year or two?
I would guess a year.
Okay. And I understand you two have got something you're working on.
Yes, I am so excited after 10 years of being in the studio, privileged enough to sing for other songwriters. I'm so excited to have my dream come true and be in the studio for me. And so Chris and I have been working for the last year and a half to complete a Christmas album that is going to be coming out this November. You can learn more about it by visiting KristenAshley.com, and my name is spelled with an E. Kristen with an E, Ashley.com. And I love Christmas music. It's got a special place in all of our hearts. And so we wanted to create an album that really captured that familiar, warm spirit of Christmas, but yet was new and creative. And I think we've really struck a chord. And actually, we're leaving straight from here to go work on another song for our album. So I would love for you all to hear it. So
maybe we'll
thank you.
We always buy the Mannheim, which they're not doing anymore. Maybe you can replace them.
Oh, I'll try.
And we'll be glad maybe to bring you also on KFUO at that time.
Yeah, it sounds like additional interviews in the future.
Absolutely.
Oh, it'd be so fun.
And that was Joni, who's going to conclude the program by once more announcing how you might receive these albums.
Okay, the God Welcomes You, Lily Fields Collection. This is the newest CD that has been produced. And for a gift, suggested donation of $15 to KFUO. That includes your shipping and handling. We will send this to you. And if you would like the first CD, also Lift Your Eyes and God Welcomes You together, it would be a $25 suggested donation. Remember, when you do this, not only are you receiving a wonderful gift, but you're helping to share the good news through KFUO Radio. You can call us 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727.
And I'm Tom Baker. On Monday, we're going to be taking a look at a verse where it says, on Judgment Day, you're going to be judged by your works, whether you've been good or bad. What do? Do we tear that page out of the Bible and make it a Lutheran Bible? No, we explain it from a law gospel point of view. So be with me Monday. Thank you very much, the guests here today, and we're looking forward to listening to this CD more and more. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Jaski from Time of Grace. Did you know that in addition to hearing Time of Grace every Saturday morning at 11:30 right here on KFUO, you can also see Time of Grace every Sunday morning? Watch us on ABC 30 every Sunday morning at 6:30 for some straight talk and real hope.
Saturday mornings at 11:30 on KFUO Radio.
Perhaps you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice, or maybe it's difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning. Either way, you'll benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO Radio. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, where Reverend Matthew Rogland leads the worship. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:30 comes from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County, where Reverend Dennis Castens is senior pastor. Join us with a message of salvation in Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on KFUO Radio.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org.
I'm Buzz Ulrich with weather on KFUO Radio. In St. Louis today, sunny with a high near 90. Overnight, mostly clear, lows in the middle 60s. For Saturday, sunny with highs in the lower 90s, and it looks like Sunday will be a rerun. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, www.kfuoam.org. AM 850 in St. Louis is listener-supported KFUO Radio.
AP Radio News. I'm John Belmont. President Obama was making the point that businesses have been adding jobs while governments have been cutting them.
The private sector is doing fine. Where we're seeing weaknesses in our economy have to do with state and local government.
And Republicans quickly jumped on his news conference comment about part of the economy doing fine. Mitt Romney called the president out of touch, and congressional GOP leaders said Obama is focusing on the wrong things.
The president called on Republicans to approve legislation that would allow state and local governments to hire teachers and law enforcement personnel. But Speaker John Boehner disagreed that's what's hurting the economy.
I believe that government continues to spend money that we don't have. And the fact is that with these looming tax hikes and the regulations coming out of Washington, we have frozen employers in place.
The House will vote next month on extending the expiring tax breaks for everybody. The president doesn't want the wealthy to benefit from such an extension. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
Another year without a Triple Crown winner, I'll Have Another is retiring instead of running in tomorrow's Belmont Stakes. Trainer Doug O'Neill says the horse has started to develop tendonitis.
He's done so much that it was unanimous between the Reddams and my brother and I and everyone at the barn to retire him. And it is bummer, but again, far from tragic, but it but